Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning on the occasion of the passing away of Sister Tina Bootsma. And Father, as we consider also her life, as we consider our own, we recognize that our very first breath to our very last, Father, we are in your hand. And we see your guidance, we see your care, we see your fatherly hand in it all. And so, Father, may first of all, we give you thanks as we come here this morning, for you have given us rich gifts also through the life of our sister, having supported her, having blessed her with a family. And we give you thanks for all that you had given her and through her to us. At the same time, Father, we turn to you, especially now, for comfort. And also as we have given her earthly body to the grave, Father, may we find comfort in knowing that you have brought her soul into your wonderful presence and into your rest and peace. And so this morning, would you be our good shepherd and shepherd us also as you do throughout life, as we go through the valley of death, as we also go through the valley of grief and of loss, to see your glory and the wonderful power and promise of your Son, Jesus Christ. May you give that to us all, family, friends, brothers and sisters, whether here or those who are joining us from afar, who may have wished to have been here, wherever we may be, would you be near to us and guide us in your word. We ask you all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. For words of comfort this morning, we will turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14. We'll read John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, and that'll also be the verses on which we'll meditate for the message this morning. Wonderful verses of promise and comfort, first of all, to Jesus' own disciples as they are troubled and worried. Jesus is to leave them, and of course also for us as God's promises continue to stand for all those who follow him and are his disciples. So John chapter 14 verses 1 through 6. These are Jesus' words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's now, before we get into the message, sing another hymn, which will be My Jesus, I Love Thee. your family, friends, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. No, many of you might have seen the write-up of Tina's life. That was also as you came in. And as is maybe the case with more of us here, Tina's life began in a country many miles from here, the Netherlands. I believe she said, born in Andijk. And like many Dutch families at the time, Tina's family made the trip across the Atlantic to forge a life here in Canada. It's a familiar story, probably also to many that are here this morning. And at the time, maybe there were many different families that all had different motives, different backgrounds, different plans for what they would do in Canada. But I do think that if you would review many of these stories, you would find one commonality. And that was that for many families, they had someone who had gone before them, came to Canada, maybe wrote back about how things were going, the opportunities they had, and inviting them to join them on the other side of the Atlantic. Some might have even been sponsors, taking care of financial needs so that others may be able to make a life here in Canada. And we see that still even today. In Canada, many immigrants doing the same things for their families, wherever they may be. And maybe you've done this before, you've considered, you know, if you, for some reason, would have to leave Canada tomorrow or next year, where would you go? Maybe you'd go where, you know, you've always wanted to live, but there's also a good chance that you may be thinking of exactly those countries where you have family or friends that have gone before you, to the States, to Mexico, Australia maybe, somewhere else. To have friends or family elsewhere be a major draw. But of course, leaving the Netherlands, leaving Canada, is one thing. What we're faced with this morning is the question, where do we go? When? We have to also leave this life. Where would we go? It's a very different crossing. Well, we also all know that at some point we have to make it. And just as many immigrating families were helped by family of friends who are ready for them on the other side, so Scripture comforts us, the knowledge that there is already one who has prepared the way for us, making a place for us on the other side. And who also call us to be with him when he returns. It's really the heart of those verses in John 14. And we'll look at that then in these moments that we have together. And the context in John is mostly about the distress that the disciples have. They're wrestling with the message that Jesus has given them, saying, warning his disciples, that he's going to leave them, and they won't be able to follow him. It's not surprising that they therefore are troubled. This is Jesus. He's done amazing things. He's been in their life for the last 3 years. And now, he's going to leave them. This wasn't what they were expecting. This wasn't what they were hoping. And they don't know how to process this. You know, just they ask the Lord Jesus, you know, let us just follow you. We will definitely not abandon you. Tell us and also where you are going, and we will make sure to find a way there. Just don't leave us. And Jesus comforts them with these words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. We all know that someone may tell us, you know, don't be troubled, don't be anxious, don't be worried. It always sounds so easy. But sometimes that advice can be awfully frustrating. We even know that in these passages, just in the last chapter, Jesus said that he was troubled himself. And he's nearing his capture, his trial and death. He's nearing Good Friday and Easter. So what kind of encouragement is there? How does he encourage himself? How can he encourage troubled disciples? Well, these are his words. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. He says, I'm going with the purpose to prepare a place for you, and I will make sure to bring you that you may be where I am. This parting may cause trouble, but he wants the disciples to see that it's with a purpose. And a blessed one. He's going to his Father, making a place ready. He'll go on ahead of them and then bring them where they may be together. And it gives us this picture of what it means to be with God the Father as being in that house with many rooms. Now maybe when we hear that, we have that image of a hotel or something that comes into our mind. But the words of Jesus are far, far richer than that. As he talks about his Father's house, he uses that word that has to do with, well, what we just sang about mansion and estate. It can be about a household where everyone is included. Servants, family, everyone. And fits wonderfully well with the fact that he calls this my Father's house. Jesus, the Son, is bringing all who believe in him to be part of his Father's household, making them children of God. Second, it's not a hotel because, you know, and hotels are only there for a night, two. And Jesus talks about these rooms that he prepares. What kind of rooms are these? A waiting room, a living room. Well, the word isn't that specific, but it is a very uncommon word that has to do with the verb to remain, to abide. It's a place to stay. A place to put down roots. A spot to unpack and to make yourself at home. Maybe think about our own lives or think about the life of our sister Tina this morning. You know, some of us get settled in a home and in an area and we never move again. Others of us are almost always on the move, going from one house to another. And sometimes it's just the fact that we can't have everything all in the same place. Think of our sister Tina Bootsma, who had to make the decision, where are you going to live? Continue in Vernon or move back to the coast? Very glad to hear she enjoyed her time with family in Sardis. But she probably also knew as family that when you move at that age, you basically want to do so. It's like, no more moving after this. I need a place where I can rest and abide, where I can remain. And Jesus says, I prepare such a place for you. A place that you may call home. And you may stay. These are beautiful words of comfort. But of course the question still is then, why can't Jesus just take his disciples there right away? Why does he have to leave them? Why does he have to cause them that trouble and grief? Maybe that comparison, that illustration of immigrating helps here again. Because as much as many people immigrate to go where family has gone or friends have gone, there's always been someone who went there first. They were the pioneers. They're the ones who had to blaze the trail ahead. and often had to do so when it was the most difficult, when they had no support, no one else to rely on. They had to work to make this place their own. What Jesus is saying, what he's telling his disciples is, trust me, I am leaving you, but I am going to prepare that better place. I will be the first to go. I will do all the heavy work. I will blaze this trail. I will be the way, so that everything will be ready when I come to bring you to be with me. And with Good Friday and Easter this week, we remember that the path our Savior had to go to prepare that place for us, far worse than any pioneer or trailblazer, that he just had to do it on his own. No, he had to face everything on his own, but he had to do the most difficult thing, to bear all of our sins, bear the wrath of God against our sin, humble himself, be mocked, rejected, and die on the cross. It was the path none of us could take, even if it was the path that he took for us, that we deserved. The only reason there is room for us in his Father's house is that Jesus has paid the penalty, opened up the way, so that instead of God leaving us out as rebellious and disobedient children, he may open up his doors and welcome us with open arms as a heavenly Father. And if you're wondering this morning, how can you have this? How could you have this most wonderful comfort, that if you want to answer that question, where would you go if you leave when you leave this life? And the answer is simple in a way. It's to go back to those words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. It's the language of faith. Trust. I'm going to go. Trust me. And trust that though we're still on this side, we trust, we believe the reports that there's opportunity and room. There's even glorious mansions in a new country, a better country. Believe. Trust in him. This trust, this faith may look different to some extent in every believer. But also consider this morning how it was visible in our sister Tina Bootsma. Quiet faith, humble faith, never wanting to be a burden, and certainly not wanting anything fancy. So I've already heard the refrain this morning of, just do it as the funeral for Henry, that'll be good enough for me. But also over the last couple of years, when she was troubled in the hospital, it's also in the last couple of weeks, or troubled by grief and illness, what did faith look like? If it wasn't that, well, what was it just that perked her up? It was always that, it was words of comfort. To be able to hear God's word, to pray with someone, and of course, to see a familiar face, like you, family members. It's the comfort of faith. That is that response to Jesus' words, trust in me, and that she did. And ultimately, her response is not just a longing for a familiar face or a comforting word. It's the longing for a better place. And when it is our time to leave the life here, there will be a familiar face. There will be comforting words when we enter our Father's house. Because Jesus said so. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Get to know the face of our Savior and to hear his word as that fruit, that reward of faith. And so where will you go if we have to leave this life? If we believe in Jesus Christ, the question is answered. And we may have that hope and assurance. But maybe we still fear, still troubled. This morning we're still grieved, the loss of a loved one or a friend. And we'll still have to face tomorrow, or the next week, or the next year, and whatever life may bring. How could we not be troubled? Well, consider Jesus' words again. Consider his very life. He came down from heaven to live among us. He suffered, died, and rose again to return to his Father to prepare a place. And as he says, I will bring you to be where I am. He has done all of that. Don't you think that he will then watch over you tomorrow, the next week, a year from now, and whatever life will bring? He has a purpose to bring all those who do believe to be where he is. And every time we sit here and we remember the life of one of God's saints, there's more evidence of that he just does just that. That he remains faithful to the end. He does it because he will bring us to where he is, so that we may be with him. And so take Jesus' words to heart. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Amen. Let's now sing in response, "When Peace Like a River." Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, as we come before you again, much like the disciples, Father, you know our hearts and how we are also troubled. We thank you for your word. As we come to the end of the life of a loved one, Father, we give you thanks for the many blessings you give us. But you know our hearts are troubled as we go through this life and as we face that final enemy, death, whether that be for ourselves or for a loved one. Father, we all confess we cannot do it on our own. And so would you also work in our hearts, that faith that looks to you, that we may take Jesus' words to heart, trust in me, and that trust we will do, also this morning. We give you thanks for the faith that you've given our sister throughout her life, that she was able to be constantly encouraged and comforted by your word to make it to the end, to cross the finish line, to have won the prize and now enter your rest. We give you thanks for that rich inheritance you have given your child. We thank you too for the time you've given her with her family, especially in these last couple of years as she was able to be in Sardis and enjoy the time there and so much enjoyed it. But Father, as does so much in this life, it is our enjoyment that we find is always too short. So be, especially with those family members who will feel that most acutely and abruptly also in the next couple of weeks and will be reminded of that empty place or the routines that won't happen again. I may then there today too learn to trust in you and find peace, yes, peace for our souls. Knowing that what you do is well and good and according to your wisdom. That we have that wonderful hope that what may be lost here is great gain in your kingdom and in your house, where there is an abiding, a resting place for all of your children. So, Father, bless us also as we go from here. Bless our time together that we may be encouraged by your word, but also that we may be encouraged, especially as family, by one another. May we be fond of the memories that you have given us and give you thanks for your blessings. And as we go from here, would you give safe travels to wherever we call home? Watch over us. And that we may see also your fatherly hand and all that we do. We ask you this in Christ's name alone. Amen.